we will continue services, and I will read in Jesus' name from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. A few verses from the end. So this is from the end of the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not collapse because its foundation was on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not obey them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and battered that house, and it collapsed, and its collapse was devastating. Amen. So this Sermon on the Mount by Jesus is perhaps the most known sermon of all time. It covers three chapters in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, 7, and Jesus speaks of many kinds of issues here. It starts from from the signs of righteousness. Then it speaks of being the salt, about being the salt and light. It speaks of Jesus and his relationship to the law. Then it speaks of the world, of the sixth commandment. Speaks of swearing, that people should speak without swearing under oath. It speaks of Jesus loving his enemies. It talks about praying and teaches the Lord's Prayer. Then Matthew warns about the mammon, about amassing fortunes. Then Matthew speaks of God's caretaking, teaches us to watch the flowers in the field and the birds of the sky, and finishes this teaching in the familiar words, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be given unto you." And then, at the end of the 7th chapter, Jesus speaks of judging others. Then he says, "Go through the narrow gate. Many go through the wide gate on the wide road, but it brings to destruction. How narrow is the gate, and how constricted is the road that leads to life, and few are the people who find it." Then the text speaks of false prophets, and then we have this story of these two builders in the end. So as all these ingenious parables told by Jesus, these examples have been taken from ordinary life, normal daily things, And this parable of these two builders could have taken place anywhere there. If someone built without first investigating the place where the house was being built, it could literally happen, as in this story, that hard rains came, a storm came, and houses of that time were not built so strong compared to the houses we have today. So it could well be that this house would collapse. In Palestine, there were these dry riverbeds, which could be completely dry for decades, even for a couple decades, so that there would not be a drop of water. But then all of a sudden there could be this very strong storm and heavy rains, and then that riverbed would be filled with water. And quickly it would happen so that this house built there would be washed away. And Jesus says that who is like a wise man who builds in a wise way is this wise man, and who builds in a weird, odd place, this man was foolish, and the teaching was as you heard. Everyone who hears these words of mine and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. So this is really a summary of what Jesus was teaching in that long Sermon on the Mount. Who hears and obeys what Jesus was teaching, or what the Heavenly Father wanted to say, is still today a wise builder. That is a good foundation for life. I would understand that this is not a matter of a doctrine of doing good things, that we would earn points by doing good things, but it is a matter of fruits of the Spirit, that when a person receives forgiveness and finds the kingdom of God, then at that point this person, we could say, gets a new heart, or gets the Holy Spirit in his heart, and this Holy Spirit works and uses that heart in a different way than the previous master of that heart. And then this new heart and this Holy Spirit there, they result in these good consequences, these fruits of faith. And the Bible is very distinct on this, or particular on this, that righteousness does not come from deeds, from actions, but that it comes solely through grace and through faith. So from all that God has done on our behalf, and from believing that. In the first letter to Corinthians, Paul speaks of this matter of foundations. I will see if I can find it here. And here it says the same thing in the following way. according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So this is exactly the same thing here, the foundation of life and setting that. There it was said that the only foundation is Jesus Christ. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it said that everyone who hears these words of mine and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock, and so has this solid foundation. And you know, there is a message for people of our time as well here. For many people live in such a way that the foundation of their lives is somehow lost, missing, and people are being blown by the winds. But you, my dear sister and brother, you are not being blown by the winds. You have a foundation that will last. You have received as a gift a lot by receiving forgiveness of sins and all that good nourishment that the Heavenly Father has arranged for His own. In the Gospel by Mark, there's a portion that I thought I would read to you. It is from a different occasion. So this is from the 12th chapter of Mark's Gospel. And this tells a story from the life of Jesus. As certain enemies of Jesus were Sadducees. So they were a crowd who denied resurrection. They denied the existence of spirits or angels, whereas Pharisees considered all of those things to be true. And as always, this situation repeated that these people tried to snare Jesus by his words. And this crowd came up with this question that since the law said that if a man dies and he is left with no children, or there are no children, then his brother should marry the widow. And then it was thought that this brother could still have children with this new wife. And they were being smart, and they thought that if there were 7 brothers, what would happen if everyone in turn is a husband to the same woman, and if they have no children, what would happen on the eve of resurrection? Whose wife would this widow then be? Well, Jesus deflected this question and said, "Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God?" So Jesus answered to that question through a reference. "Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God?" I think that this portion speaks to us as well. The better we know, the more we know the scriptures and the word of God, and if We have this living gospel at our disposal. That is the power of God. But do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. So this highlights that knowing and reading the Word of God are important things. And when we have this gospel that is familiar to us as children of God, and hopefully that is being used a lot, this deflects the attacks of the enemy beforehand, and all these temptations and all that the enemy is trying to achieve. So whenever possible, it pays to go and hear the Word of God. It is good to read the Bible, and these sort of give a buffer for us, that we have the strength to battle against temptations, and that we have strength to battle against the enemy. And if we think of the entire message of the Bible, the authority of the Word of God is there, and highlighting that, and highlighting the will of God is written very clearly. And that final parable of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is also about the same matter. On one hand, we know, or it would be good for us to recognize, that today we live in a time when things are getting more secular. This means that in general, people are detaching themselves from the Word of God and from the authority of the Word of God and the value of it. And this makes our life difficult, and also makes our life difficult, dangerous, from the perspective of the Word of God. But this is known by the Heavenly Father. We don't need to fear this. And we should not be worried about that. But we can believe as we are right now, and that is our treasure here now. It is in our hearts, and we can enjoy it fully every day, that we have sins forgiven, and we have peace with God, and we have this kind of a Father in heaven. We have our Redeemer, Lord Jesus, who has promised to be here on this earth with us until the end of the world. So, sister and brother, be strengthened and with good mind. Even though the waves of this world are in great strength today, but when we have this kind of a foundation for our lives and this security, we can be secure and safe here and now. Then I thought, still, take a little portion of catechism here still. So this is that catechism that my generation has studied. This was published some decades ago. Many things are crystallized well here. This is a portion about taking care of one's faith life. for faith is like a sensitive flower, and it is good to take care of it. To remain in faith and to be strengthened in faith, a Christian should diligently use the Word of God and the Holy Communion, prayer, and the unity of Christians. So the first thing mentioned here, that to support the strengthening of one's faith, we have the Word of God. That is why these services have been arranged, that we could hear the Word of God and we could believe the Word of God and preach it to all people. Then the Holy Communion, that is also has been set to strengthen our faith. So remember, sisters and brothers, tomorrow evening when we have the communion here in the tent, it is meant to strengthen your faith. Then prayer is a channel to strengthen our faith, and this unity of Christians, the mutual love between the children of God. As you all know, it is a matter that cannot be measured with money. We could add a little later, the text here speaks of confession of sins. If sin weighs on us and our conscience is burdened, the Heavenly Father has arranged this possibility that we can speak to another child of God about these issues that we have on our mind, and authorized by God, this sister or brother can then preach our sins forgiven. This we would know even without me teaching it to you, but this is a gift of God and meant to strengthen our faith. As a young man, a young priest in Pudasjärvi, I think there are people from Pudasjärvi here tonight as well. I was a priest speaker there, and we had agreed that I'd be marrying a couple, and this couple had chosen the place for their marriage, the ceremony, to be one a certain house that had been turned into a camp. There was a building that had a chapel upstairs. This was a nice place built upstairs there for an occasion like this wedding ceremony, and I had been asked to conduct that, and we gathered there one evening in July. This may have been in 1976, so long ago. And when we gathered there, in the yard, dark clouds were rising from all directions above that building. Well, we went upstairs regardless and started the ceremony. And as the text for that wedding ceremony, I read this particular text of two builders. And as I was reading this text, the rain fell, floods came, and winds blew, and a massive thunderstorm started. The thunder was loud, it was really windy, and the sounds of the rain pounding the roof came, and to top it all off, the window on the roof started to leak and started letting water through, and then it fell down right in front of me. And as I looked at the couple, they clearly understood what I was reading from the Bible. Their eyes were smiling, even though otherwise it was all very festive and solemn. But I would think that this occasion remained in the minds of this couple for the rest of their lives as well. It was such a concrete teaching about the power of the storm and the rain and thunder. And from this, I get to the topic of what resulted. In this thought, for I have used this text several times when I have married people. There are other good texts in the Bible for this same purpose, but this is one that I and I think other priests tend to use. It is good to speak about marriage still today. It is such a miraculous gift of God. And in the wedding celebration, we tend to speak of these foundations, the basic things that it is a thing that is based on love. Marriage is. It is meant to be lifelong. Marriage is based on trust and faithfulness. As you, all couples, well know. And when I just said that faith is like a delicate flower which needs to be taken care of, marriage is a similar delicate flower. It needs to be protected as well as we can. And all the things that, all the effort we put into taking care of this marriage will come back manyfold together to both spouses. When I have married people, I have spoken of these things, but then also about the power of forgiveness, about forgiving and receiving forgiveness. We know that this is about the gospel. So these two things, forgiving and receiving forgiveness, these are the basic blocks of nourishment that carry us far, that carry us strongly, and carry us well. Then many times I have spoken about the importance of communication, that it is crucial for the spouses to discuss everything with love and openly. Many times I've experienced that it is very difficult. So do what needs to be done, but not like I do. It is not the easiest thing to discuss everything, even though it is the most important, most loving, the best person of our life next to us. Discussing also requires listening so that we hear what the other person is saying and wants to say. It doesn't help if the other person is speaking, especially if the other person is speaking with loud letters, but the other person stays mute. So I would want to encourage with these words you, mothers and fathers and couples, spouses, to continue this culture of communication. Speaking, listening, forgiving, and receiving the forgiveness. Then I think of you courting couples. You couples who are planning for marriage, planning to get married. I would think that you should first and foremost remember this exhortation for open communication, so that you would know by heart the thoughts of your partner and the way this other person is thinking about life and how this person wants to build this life going forward. It would be good to do this before getting married. It certainly will pay off. So that you would truly know one another by heart. And by faith, through faith, so that there would not be any unwanted surprises later on. It would be good to discuss things thoroughly. There's some glory in this, or something great in this, that if we have a believing spouse, and if the spouse indeed believes in the same way as I do, or as the people of God do, for believing together is very nice. And there's a possibility for this if we want to build our lives and the foundations of our lives. That pays off for sure. Marriage is a game of skill, but it also is a matter of us wanting. We're asked, do you want to love? Do you want to love this person throughout your life? That is a long-term goal, but we're all aiming for that. And the Word of God is good for that too. We find lots of good pieces of advice for married life as well. And we can examine those teachings, and if we keep our ears open at services, we learn a lot. Let the Heavenly Father bless you all, the entire flock, mothers and fathers, this foundation of life, owning this correct kind of foundation, having the portion of this wise builder. It also means that we have to confess oftentimes that this was not a successful this travel As a young man, I thought that when I become older, things will become more clear, and the enemy will kind of give up a bit. But this has not been the case for me. Don't know how it is for you. But it is somehow safe to look at life as an older man, standing on this foundation that the Jesus parable speaks about. And it is safe and secure for you younger ones to plan your life from this foundation. My own lackings, my own shortcomings, will matter and do matter for all of us. They do, as the letter to the Hebrews testifies. And for consolation, I thought to read one sentence from Luther. Often, the corruption of sin burdens us, but sin clings to us despite our thoughts, and the enemy is so skilled at what he does. Luther once wrote as follows: "No one should imagine that during this life, here on this earth, he or she could reach a state in which he or she would no longer need the forgiveness. Think of this. So no one should think that it would ever be the case. Not even when a person becomes older, they shouldn't think so. And the only medicine against this sin that clings to us is the gospel, which has been discussed oftentimes during these hours at services. And it means that you can believe, sins forgiven, in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven. Bless your spouses, one another. Ask for forgiveness and forgive. Also you young ones amongst each other. Your life will be good if you listen to the word of God. You remember this teaching about the foundation of life. If you forgive each other and if you ask for forgiveness, this helps everywhere. Also at work, this kind of open communication. And if forgiveness and asking for forgiveness is needed there, it is effective. So we can, even at this moment, we can trustfully believe. And about the foundation of life, this one thing, you sister and brother, you can hold your head high and be a believer, a child of God. You can obey these teachings of the Bible and all these things that the Bible wants to give us. We do not need to be ashamed. The world might see things differently, but we do not need to be ashamed. These feelings may be familiar to you, that sometimes you may have felt shame. You may have been ashamed, but you wouldn't have to. Remain securely believing. And remembering this great foundation set by Jesus, sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And to you children and young ones, it is touching to see your group here at summer services. Let the Heavenly Father bless you all as well, children and young ones, and the entire Zion. In Jesus' name, amen.